Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Merry Christmas.
Well, it's time for us to return for another Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, with most of the regular team here, apart from, of course, our team captain, who hopefully will be joining us shortly. That's Rob Nichols. But we do have the Bartleys in the house. Thomas and Chris, how are you guys?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, very well.
Excellent. And we've also got Sean Rye, of course, with us as well. How are you, Sean?
All good, thank you, Alex.
Good. So are we set for a Fulham Borough Carabao Cup final? Because clearly that's where the augurs are going. Fulham will have no difficulty whatsoever in terms of disposing of their little challenge and the Mersey people. Whereas obviously we'll hopefully cope with Maurizio Pochettino. Or is that too wishful thinking for this time of the year? Sean?
No, I think they're the games fans live for. And I think, you know, as tough as it is facing Premier League opposition, these are the kind of games that you sort of get yourself up for and you get excited to sort of see where this team is at and, what you know, pit your wits against some of the best teams. And I think it'll be a cracking atmosphere. I'm looking forward to it already.
I mean, let's talk Port Vale, of course, a stonking result. Thanks, of course, I might say, to a Manchester City purchase. Young Morgan, of course, doing his business. But, of course, everybody seemed to turn it on and it seemed to be pretty much business as expected when you take on a side from the division below. Sean, your thoughts first, and then we'll turn to Thomas.
Yeah, I think it was a really professional performance. I keep hearing that seems to be the sort of word used. And comfortable, but as Michael Carrick pointed out, you have to really put the work in and earn that kind of respect and earn the opportunity to be so comfortable as we were in that second half. But I thought it was a really good performance. And the good thing is, as decimated as we are in the squad and as many injuries as we've got, I'm excited no matter what the lineup is, and I think that's testament to how Michael Carrick's got us playing. The likes of Rodgers and Silvera in particular during this cup competition seem to have really come into their own and shown quite a bit of authority in some of these games, which is really good, and I think it'll bode as well in the future.
Thomas, equally optimistic and positive?
Yeah, I think it was a very efficient performance on Tuesday. You know, the fact that I think a lot of people will remember that Burton game a few years ago in the quarterfinals at home as the perfect example of how not to play a low league team, really, or a low standard team in a match like that when you're really expected to win. But we didn't leave anything to chance on Tuesday. I mean, even things like, you know, bringing Isaiah Jones off, even though he'd only just brought him on a short time before. I think it was quite a sensible, quite efficient performance. I mean, I don't know if it's going to end at the next stage. We'll see. But I think it certainly could buoy us for the season to come.
Excellent. I'll just say, positionally, just get closer to the microphone. When you're sort of turning away, we're losing you slightly. I'm sure your dad will be getting firmly on microphone now. Chris, we've just been looking at the last fanzine. We didn't have a chance to actually mention this at the time. But, of course, you have a very heartfelt tribute to Terry Venables, really. I think he'd be looking down quite happy with how Borough are performing, wouldn't he?
Absolutely. I think at the time he took over, we were really, really struggling. And I heard a lot of things at the time about him kind of not exactly criticising Robbo, but I think the first thing he'd done was kind of installed a tactics board at Hereworth. And he just really went back to basics. I think it's funny because a lot of people talked about Terry Venables being like a really attack-minded manager. But I think in those first few weeks and months at Middlesbrough, he just really just kind of solidified the back line, and we were quite a kind of a difficult team to break down. And then once he kind of got that side of the team right, we started playing a little bit more flowing football, and he got the best out of Boxic and everything. So yeah, I think it was a nice tribute, and I think he deserved the accolades, because I know Tosh done something in the last fanzine, and he kind of, it was a bit of like one of these sliding doors moments. What might have happened had Terry Venables not come to the club. And I do often wonder, because obviously, like, McLaren came, we got in the semi-final of the FA Cup, we won the Carling Cup. But if we went down that season, who knows what might have happened.
Some might say a similar thing is actually happening up the A19 with Sunderland. Not that we really care, but Sean, any thoughts on them getting a Rangers reject as their new manager?
I just think it's quite, I shouldn't be so petty really, but it was quite humorous to see some of the comments saying Zidane's out of a job, maybe we could get him. And then the subsequent fallout when they got Beal, you know, a lot of disgruntled fans. But, you know, this is the kind of thing, you know, I don't want to say better than the devil you know because it sounds a bit disrespectful, but Tony Mowbray did such a good job. I think only retrospectively they're going to realise what they've done. So, yeah.
It's the never-ending managerial merry-go-round, as indeed Nottingham Forest fans are finding out with respect to trying to implement their own Nuno Espirito Santos. OK, this is a Borough podcast. We're going to talk about Middlesbrough. We have to mention, I suppose, the Ipswich game didn't quite go according to plan. I mean, again, from your own perspective, Sean, was it something which was disappointing? We couldn't repeat the magic we had over Leicester City?
Yeah, it was really disappointing, and more so, you know, points matter, and you know, winning is also the most important thing. But it would have maybe felt a little bit better had we actually turned up. It just felt so flat. I never really felt like we're in the game. I just think they sort of bossed it, and sometimes that happens. I think now it's just how we react. We're in a busy period where the games come thick and fast. And that's one thing in the Championship. You don't really have time to dwell on the performance. You know, it was quite heartening to see us pinch a win against Swansea when we looked a little bit sort of like the confidence had been drained a little bit. So it was quite nice to see that different side to us. And I think Carrick alluded to it a little bit that we were, you know, we had to dig in. Players like Greenwood, who's not notable for his flair and his sort of technique and his attacking prowess, was running all over the pitch, and it was nice to see us putting the shift in and a few players, you know, really running themselves into the ground. I mean, maybe that's the wrong term of phrase at this current point, given how many are out, but yeah, it was nice to see us dig in and get a win. So hopefully there's a few more performances of that ilk that will come, as well as the attacking flowing football that we all love to see. But yeah, let's hope there's a few wins over this festive period to sort of keep us within striking distance. I think if we get a few more players back, dare I say, and we stop in touch with some of those teams just above, because I think everyone's beating everybody at the minute, and hopefully we're still in the hunt.
Something else we probably need to mention, just to actually sort of keep abreast of the whole system, and who knows, Borough may well be actually in the breakaway league before too long. But I see the European Super League has once again opened its business terms in light of the recent ruling. Thomas, let's turn to you first. I mean, given that obviously Borough playing one of the sides in the Carabao Cup semi-final who were one of the initial supporters of that league, do you think it's inevitable we're going to see this thing going? I mean, you know, is this the way that a football is beginning to progress, where you get the few playing for the many?
It's quite hard to tell, isn't it? Because I think that there was obviously such sustained backlash when it happened originally, that whether or not the fans, the clubs would be prepared to take the fans, you know, for granted like that again. But, you know, I given that they managed to do it, and whether they foresaw the reaction or they just thought they would plough ahead anyway, I don't know. But given they've done it once, it wouldn't surprise me if they did it twice. I mean, new proposals announced today don't sound any more meritocratic or fair or interesting, to be honest, but that wouldn't stop them. If it's a money-making exercise, then why would they care about that? But hopefully not, of course, for the integrity of football.
Yeah, and Sean, is this something else, or is it a case of, well, the rot started in 1992 when football, of course, began in this country, as we all know, with the establishment of the Premier League?
I think Thomas is right, unfortunately. It's just such a grubby sort of idea for me, and money talks, unfortunately. But, you know, is it similar that the Champions League came in and there was a big backlash about teams being able to win the Champions League having not won their own domestic title and stuff like that. It's an extension of that. But for me, how do you figure the criteria? You know, like, well, you know, is it based on history? Is it based on what you've won? How much money you've got? It's just a really, yeah, I'm not a fan, as you can probably tell the way I'm sort of describing it. But yeah, it's not beyond the realms that it'll happen, because, like we say, money talks and that kind of thing, unfortunately, may get pushed through. I hope it doesn't.
Well, our team captain has finally arrived, which is always good. Probably actually doing some dealings with Real Madrid and Barcelona about possible players, and Borough getting a sort of shortcut into the European Super League. Rob, we've shared some of the discussions about, obviously, the upcoming Fulham versus Middlesbrough Carabao Cup final. I'm the optimist. are you quite pleased with how things are going at present, given, obviously, current results?
Yeah. Can you can hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah, brilliant. Apologies to everyone. Our road was closed, which caused a diversion.
In Middlesbrough? Outrageous. I can't believe that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, at Christmas, what's this? Yeah. But no, it's phenomenal to be able to look forward to things in January, because January is often like a really miserable month. But to have the FA Cup, a really mouthwatering FA Cup tie against Aston Villa at home, arguably the Premiership's form team, and then to be going head-to-head against Chelsea in the first of the two leggers a couple of days later is amazing, isn't it? And I've seen some people sort of saying, oh, the cup's going to put us off, exactly. But actually, it's what we live for, games like this, as fans. This is what you go through all the drudgery of of your long winters for, exactly, matches like this and the opportunity to sort of be in these big games. And we saw the other side of it this week. Thomas and me were down at Port Vale, and we broke their hearts, unfortunately. Their first ever quarter final in the League Cup, but it was a very professional display, and the 3-0 really does reflect the difference between the teams. But hopefully, the boot's on the other foot, obviously, against Chelsea, and we've got to make sure that we make it as difficult for them and stay in that tie. But it's great to be in a semi final, isn't it? Fantastic.
Chris, I notice you're nodding sagely in the background there. You've kind of, a bit like Rob and myself, to a certain extent, been there, seen it all before in so many ways. But of course, the 20-year anniversary since, of course, the major trophy, still actually the only Northeast side to actually win a major trophy. Have to obviously point that out with respect to Newcastle United, where we had a dig at Sunderland earlier. So why not actually sort of maintain that with the Magpies as well? I mean, it is an exciting time, but which side of the fence are you on? Are you on the side of the sense that this is what it's all about, the glamour ties? Or would you say, no, we need league form. We need 3 points against Rotherham, West Bromwich Albion and Huddersfield?
I'm totally with Rob in the Pro Cup lobby. and I don't really think that the kind of the cup sidetracks your season, really. I always remember when, in the days of Bruce Rioch, I think it was the 1987-88 season, when we went head-to-head with Everton, the existing champions. And even though we were beaten in the end in quite like kind of like, you know, devastating circumstances, I think the very fact that we went head-to-head with them and we were just pipped at the post, I think we gained quite a lot from that, like in just proving that, you know, we can match these teams. And I think in a kind of bizarre way, it helped us get promoted, because we thought, you know what, if we can go head to head with Everton, then there's no reason why we can't get promoted into Division One. So even though we did get knocked out, I think if you can up a good performance and show your mettle against these teams, I think you can gain so much from that. So I'm definitely pro cup, and I think, you know, that these people who say, oh, you know, we should just concentrate on the league, you almost sound like a sort of a businessman, like talking about his approach to football. So I'm up for the cup.
I love the
That
way
is
you actually
my
mentioned Division One there back in the day, eh? Basically before Premier League was established. League Division One, of course, where Lincoln City are currently sort of mid-table. Sean, what about yourself? Has the cup lost its magic, or is it the cup that cheers, or the cups that cheer?
No, I mean, speaking from personal experience, the cups are often, as Rob alluded to and Chris there, the cup match is often what you remember. I remember obviously in the 90s when we were sort of frequent visitors to Wembley and so on, albeit that we lost some finals. But that cup magic, and they're the sort of games that fans talk about years later. And I just think it never really loses its magic. Not for me as a Borough fan anyway. I think it's fantastic. And look at the last time we won the League Cup, we were pitched against sort of Arsenal, the invincible that season, over two legs. And I think few would have thought that we'd have turned them over. And I know some will point to the fact that Arsenal did have some maybe of their second stringing, but nevertheless, it was amazing at the time to sort of turn them over two legs with the little man performing his magic. So, and Chelsea are far from the complete article, I think. As much as there's been some sort of green shoots of recovery under Pochettino and they've got some good individuals, I think if we can really stop with them in the early part of the game at home, I think the Riverside will be rocking. I think we'll really give them a game.
And Chelsea have only spent £1 billion on their squad, so it's not as though they've kind of gone overboard when it comes to spending under Todd Boehly. So nice to see that clearly the legacy of Abramovich is still actually in place from that point of view. Rob, I'm not sure whether you actually have upon your person the well, I say the latest edition, obviously the Ipswich Town number, but we did promise Jimmy Flynn that we would actually do a little reading of his latest routine. Now, we can obviously hold it back if you haven't got it to hand, but I was conscious we didn't actually manage to do his tribute to Bobby Charlton, which I think probably merits at least
Yeah.
some kind of general acknowledgement for the whole thing.
That is true. I recall that. I have got one. I have got a copy. So I
Wow,
will just try and find a page.
this is very good indeed. I mean, this obviously shows us that the planning is actually there and the foresight is actually there. Whilst you're actually searching for that, any news from the lines? I think you'll find it on page 11, actually, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's the interesting sort of alter ego line of Bobby Charlton, which is obviously nice from that sort of point of view. But what the hey? I'm sure nobody would have noticed that typo in any way, shape, or form. Clearly, the proofreader needs to be sort of just, he was full of Christmas spirit, perhaps, on that particular instance.
Right.
Any news from the press conference scene that you've been at, or is it all very quiet as we look ahead to four fixtures before, of course, Aston Villa emerge?
I wasn't actually at the press conference today, Alex. I had to attend a meeting with the mayor.
Well,
I
there you go.
put my Captain Cook tri-cornered hat on today to talk about Captain Cook. But yes, obviously, I was a press there's the press conference earlier this week before the Port Vale game, and yeah, they're basically looking forward to all these games and hoping, keeping the fingers crossed that we don't pick up more injuries. We may have picked up more injuries against Port Vale. Let's hope they're not serious ones. I think there's a fair chance that we will try and sign one or two players, should we say, in January. But then there's also a fair chance that one or two of the long-term injured will become fit to play again. And that if Riley McGree, there's no pressure on him because it was a bad injury, a plantar fasciitis with his foot. If Riley McGree and Force are fit, then it'll make a big difference to the attacking options we've got, because at the moment they're pretty limited. So I think they're being very cagey, Alex. They're not going on about injuries. They're not talking. They don't want to put pressure on anybody. But I think that's just the hope, that we get through this period without picking up any more. Don't do a Newcastle United, and that we can sign a couple of players. But that'll be very interesting itself. We'll talk about that in the new year. What should we do? Should we be looking at loans, or should we be looking at permanent signings, or do we have the choice?
Absolutely, and it's all about the mindset. And certainly, I think it's an old saying that if you keep saying you're tired, you probably will be tired. It's a kind of mental image, which we'll talk about. Let's talk now about Jimmy Flynn's ode and little poetry dedication to, of course, the brother of one of Middlesbrough's most successful managers. That would, of course, be Sir Bobby Charlton. Rob, would you like to start us off?
Yep. And hopefully I don't read the typo. I didn't notice it, obviously. Bobby Charlton was a soccer superstar, beamed down from football heaven afar.
By the football gods, consummately blessed, an abundance of soccer skills he possessed.
Born in the Northumbrian pit town of Ashington, marked out for stardom before his life had begun.
Born into an extended Geordie football dynasty, its most illustrious member he grew to be.
With Manchester United, his professional career began and he became a revered adoptive Mancunian.
A star of the legendary Busby Babes team that encountered tragedy, pursuing a European Cup dream.
The Munich air crash ripped the team apart and left the city of Manchester with a broken heart.
A young Bobby was miraculously ejected from harm's way and rose to be the greatest player of his day.
He became the keystone in United's rebuilt team, one of the finest footballers the world has seen.
In a style replete with grace, pace and power, he inspired Manchester United to its finest hour.
Evoking memories of those ill-fated stars of a decade before, he delivered the European Cup to Old Trafford's door.
In tandem with his matchlessly brilliant Man United career, to the top of world football, the England team he did steer.
Sir Bobby Charlton, knight of the realm, footballer par excellence, lit up the world of football with his dazzling brilliance.
Well, there we are. I think it worked well. I mean, Sean, did you think that was a suitable Jimmy Flynn tribute to Sir Bobby?
I think it was. I think it was fantastic. And, you know, what a guy who's, it seemed anyway that he was universally sort of respected and revered. But yeah, he's one of those names as well that seemed to transcend the sport. You know, whoever you spoke to, everybody knew who Bobby Charlton was. Yeah, I thought that was a great tribute.
And I can tell you this much, I wouldn't read anything which has Manchester United mentioned four times and it hadn't been for Sir Bobby. I'm just saying, you know, there we are. So it goes. Okay, let's talk about the fabulous foursome that are coming up, two at home and two away. We start off with a home game against West Bromwich Albion. Thomas, any worries, any fears about the Baggies? I mean, they tend to be a bit of an up and down team in so many ways and seem to be also vying with Middlesbrough for mid-table mediocrity this season.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think they have been quite up and down. I think that at certain points they've looked like they were going to make a bit of a surge towards consolidating the playoff place, and then they've dipped off a little bit. I think it'll be an interesting game. I think, like I've said before on here, I think Christmas time is always a really important one for testing your mettle and seeing if you're going to make it to a proper promotion push to sustain through the season. So I think it'll be a good test for both of us in that respect. But yeah, I'm not excessively concerned. But I think given we've had a couple of really tough results against particularly Ipswich and Leeds lately, we'll be very keen to get a good result.
Sean, sentiments echoed by yourself?
Yeah, a little bit nervous about this one, only because of we looked a little bit all over the place when we played them earlier in the season, and albeit different circumstances and so on. But it was... yeah, I think it was 4-2, wasn't it? Tommy Smith sent off, and we looked really poor down the flanks. They got at us quite a lot. So I'm keen for us to show how much we've improved and put our stamp on it early on, hopefully. So it'd be nice to get one over on them, to be honest.
Chris, any thoughts from yourself?
It's a tricky one. It's funny. I was trying to think about the last time
we actually played them, and it was July 2022, because it was, I think we played them the first game at home of the last season under Wilder, and lots of things have changed since then. But it's very hard at the moment because you don't know who might be in the team and things like that. But I think, I think it's just the way we're addressing games kind of makes you feel fairly positive, you know, that Carrick doesn't make excuses about the injuries. He tries to be as positive as possible. So I think if we're not truly decimated by injuries, we've got a good chance, really, because they're not really flying. They're a little bit erratic. So I'm quietly confident. think that's how I'd go, as far as saying quietly confident.
I think possibly 2-1, but Rob, any thoughts from yourself?
Well, obviously we've got not to bring it down, but we've had a couple of bad defeats. We need a good result at home and a good performance. Do you know, traditionally they never used to play on the Saturday before Christmas, did they? Because everyone was out Christmas shopping. They used to play on a Friday night, something like that. So, but it would be a great Christmas present come early if we could get, it's the cliche, get the 3 points against West Brom, who are a difficult team. They're putting together one or two good results themselves now, aren't they? Which they need to do. So it would be very good to build on that win in midweek against Port Vale and take that into the league.
3 days later, they're away to Rotherham. Is that one that you're looking forward to? Or is it a case of, Rotherham battling against relegation again? Could be a tricky one.
Yeah, we're taking a big support there again. You're right. We've not always found it easy playing at Rotherham, because they always have to battle to stay up, don't they? They're one of those teams that yo-yos between those divisions. But again, it's Boxing Day. It's a sort of special occasion. As I say, there'll be a big Borough contingent. There'll be a good atmosphere. It'd be really nice to have like back-to-back victories, wouldn't it?
Sean, your thoughts on the Baggies and then Rotherham?
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity for us. I think, like I said earlier, I'm still sort of really optimistic sometimes when you're so decimated with injuries and you look at the lineup, you know, you'd normally be forgiven for feeling a little bit nervous, but I'm quite happy with whatever the lineup is. I think it shows that the squad depth is there. I think there's still some development and progression to be made, but yeah, you know, you look at the fit players. I think today in his presser, he said that Riley and Josh Coburn could be in and around the group, not ready to start, but that's good news for them to be back and in and around the group. Like Rob said, hopefully Marcus Force will also come back very soon, offer a little bit of sort of competition on the right and be an impact player. He loves to shoot on sight and he's really direct. So yeah, there's definitely reasons for optimism, and I think we've got a real chance of picking up a few points.
And keeping the festive theme and battles against either the Midlands teams or the Yorkshire teams going, what are your thoughts, Sean, on the away game at Huddersfield Town on the 29th?
Well, at least we can't get Warnocked. That's something. Again, I think if we equip ourselves well and go in with the right attitude early on, I think the game's there for us, and I fancy us to get something.
All very positive. Thomas, we'll turn to your good self. Away to Rotherham, away to Huddersfield. And if you want to share some thoughts on the home game against Coventry City, literally on New Year's Day.
Yes. Well, to start with Rotherham, I think that, yeah, it will be a bit of a tricky one. But I think given we're sending such a huge support down there, it would be great to see a win, particularly if it was following a win against West Brom at the weekend. Huddersfield will be a tricky one, as will Coventry. But I think Coventry are a team in very different state to how we played them at the start of this season, when it looked like they were going to continue with the momentum on from their playoffs. I don't know who they beat in the playoffs now. I can't remember. I'm hopeful that we can have a decent points return on these few games over Christmas, but particularly because it won't leave us feeling shortchanged if we end up, and I don't want to predict this, but being dumped out of two cups in a few weeks, we don't want to feel too despondent about our season. So it would be nice to have a good couple of weeks before that.
I think that's the important aspect, really getting some kind of springboard. I mean, Chris, would you say, I mean, again, looking at that whole basis, I mean, best case scenario, of course, 4 matches, 12 points, game against Aston Villa becomes icing on the cake.
That would be absolutely perfect. There's no reason why that shouldn't happen. I think traditionally we've had good Christmas periods. And this is just another test, really, isn't it? Because of the injury situation that we're experiencing at the moment. But it does appear that some of the players are nearly ready. I'm not sure how quickly they might be pitched in, but I'm looking forward to it. I think everyone's looking forward to it. You can't help but be feel that kind of excitement at the moment that you after the draw last night. And I think most people are just looking forward to the Christmas period to see what we can do. 12 okay. points, that would be perfect.
Okay, so Rob, would you like to throw in your predictions for at least three of those? Let's go with the game against West Brom and then the Rotherham and Huddersfield away games.
Okay, we're going to be 2-1 winners against West Brom. We're going to win 1-0 away at Rotherham. And Huddersfield, well, we've beaten them once already this season on their patch to start off the League Cup run. And we'll do it again. We'll do it 2-0.
There you go. Sean, would you like to throw in your particular predictions?
Yeah. Ever the eternal optimist, but I can't not follow the boss there and go for three wins. So I think a tricky one, West Brom. I'll go with the general consensus. It'll be tight. I think we'll possibly concede 2-1. And then Rotherham, I think a comfortable 2-0 win. And then against Huddersfield, I think we'll pinch it 1-0.
And finally, Thomas, or the Barclay household, speaking on behalf of both, shall we say?
Well, yeah, that's a tricky one. I will go for a 1-0 win against West Brom and then a 2-0 win against Rotherham. But then I'm going to say that Huddersfield might deny us a fantastic three wins on the bounce. And it might be 1-1. And then Coventry, I will go for a fantastic 2-0 win to kick off the new year.
All very positive, all very optimistic. And indeed, we look forward to hopefully seeing those manifested before we actually return. Rob, how can people actually subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the actual magazine, so they can actually physically hold poems by Jimmy Flynn and articles by the Bartleys and indeed Sean and yourself?
There's not too many of mine these days. But it's if you go to the website fmtcmborough.com and have a look for the fanzine shop or click on subscribe and you'll see details of how you can subscribe for the last five issues of the season. I was going to throw in a Christmas card, but I think it'd be late now. It'd be very difficult to get there in time. But yeah.
And of course, the expense of postage alone can be actually quite challenging. We'll just send e-cards. It's all very important. Although we might do all sorts of other things. A little mention for Dave Golightly, who sadly has passed away as well. We didn't actually get a chance to mention, I think, in the last Fly Me to the Moon podcast. Yes. So over to you, Rob, once more.
Yes, Dave, it was very sad to hear of Dave's death. Dave was worked on the fanzine in the early days. He was kind of like unsung hero, should we say. He was in the office typing out all those handwritten letters and trying to interpret the handwriting, because that was the challenge in those days. And he used to keep us going when he wasn't typing by bringing in cakes. He was a baker himself, but he didn't necessarily bake the cakes, but he would select them from Morgan's the Baker or somewhere like that with his trained eye. Great character sadly lost. He loved his music as well, so there was lots of really good songs played at his funeral, Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen and all sorts of things. But sadly missed a great character.
Well, we will certainly be back with Fly Me to the Moon, our podcast, probably before the Aston Villa game, because I think that's when the next Fly Me to the Moon magazine is due out. Although we might do something before Crystal Palace, before Coventry. We'll see how things go. But it's time almost for the festive end. Jenny Finch sends her best from Tipperary. Apparently they're having storms over there, which is one of the reasons she couldn't actually connect for this particular one. But I'm sure she'll be back with us in the new year. To Thomas Bartley, to Chris Bartley, to Sean Rye, obviously to Rob Nichols. Many thanks, as ever. Rob, would you like to actually lead us into how can we have a festive UTB? I don't know. We could sort of put something on the whole sort of system. Maybe actually listen to this whilst you're listening to your favourite Christmas carols as well. Rob and the team, after you in 3, 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough.
Up the Borough.
Merry Christmas.